phishing scams are a really big deal, and what are they? I mean, let's talk a little bit about what a phishing scam is, because you've heard the term and you think, oh, I'll never fall for, you know, it's an email that you click on a link and give them your private information. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple. They're very, very tricky.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're super believable.
They really are.
And they're getting more believable every day, too, with technology, right, and means.
I want to show you one tonight that right. WordFence brought to our attention.
Okay.
That is incredible with how convincing it is. And it's, in fact, been convincing a lot of tech-minded people to mm-hmm. click the link and enter their private information.
Do you know from experience?
We'll talk about that.
Oh.
But first, Category 5 Tech TV has already talked a lot about phishing on our show. If you go to our website, category5.tv, do a quick search up at the top for phishing. And phishing is spelt with a PH, like the kids say, because it's hip.
So do that.
Give it a go. PHISHING. Phishing. And one episode in particular that we looked at phishing scams with mm-hmm. was episode 291, where I and Krista actually mm-hmm. pretended we were hackers. And we lit the room in green light, and we showed you, our viewers, how simple, how easy it can be for one of these malicious users to create a very convincing phishing scam. And so we demonstrated that with the intention of showing you how easy it is for someone to do that so that you wouldn't fall for it.
Right.
So that you would see that, hey, this could look really, really real. Well, unfortunately, the episode got taken the wrong way by some of our sponsors. And, we lost advertisers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And we had angry letters from viewers who said, I can't believe you're teaching people how to hack.
I think there's always going to be people like that, though. It's
right.
True.
It was
it's
a preemptive, right? Like, yeah. This is how easy it is to do it. So this is
exactly.
Be careful, because anybody yeah. could do it.
That was our goal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Didn't
Oopsie.
Quite go down that way, but check out the episode.
Lost in translation.
It's episode 291
you
on Category 5.
Like, blacked it
TV.
Out? All of our episodes
it's
are
on our website. Yeah. Still. You can still watch it there, but we cannot monetize it because all advertising was pulled.
Yikes.
How interesting is that? Okay, so that's to say, go onto our website, learn more about phishing, and you'll see kind of the evolution of phishing attacks. Mm-hmm. Adam Kujawa mm-hmm. from Malwarebytes is a wonderful guy to talk to, mm-hmm. and he's been on the show a number of times to talk about phishing scams and malware, so you want to look up some of his episodes on our show as well. So getting into tonight's feature, we want to talk about a particular phishing scam that was discovered, or at least exposed to the general public by WordFence. And you've heard of WordFence on the show in the past. WordFence is a security suite, firewall, anti-everything that is bad for WordPress. And this time they kind of stepped outside of the mold of being a WordPress security plugin and said, we really need to let people know about this particular issue because this is big, even though it doesn't involve WordPress. Okay? So these are some really talented, really experienced security gurus that are putting this thing together. And in the post, which you can actually go to cat5.tv/wf-fish, and the WF stands for WordFence, and fish obviously stands for phishing. So what's interesting about this particular form of attack or phishing scam is that it is more convincing than I have even ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
what they've discovered or what they've exposed is a phishing attack that really appears to be entirely legitimate. The links look real.
Yeah, nothing's dodgy about anything on the actual page
Nothing
itself.
At all.
So,
yeah.
Wow. So it actually says like Google or something in the actual bar then, eh?
I'm going to bring up my Gmail account because I received this particular scam from Bell Canada.
So you actually got it. So
I received one from Bell Canada. Now,
it's not Bell Canada.
No.
That's the thing.
No, it's not Bell Canada. But I want to show you how absolutely real this looks. So I'm going to bring up this bill, and it looks like Google has still not stripped anything from the email. Let's jump over to my laptop screen here, and you can see that there's a refund ready for me of $112.53, and it looks 100% legitimate, okay?
It's like money.
Yeah, and so most people are going to click on the view bill.
Does your bill, like, wait, scroll up again?
Yeah.
That link Yeah, R. Ferguson.
Yeah, that's so my that's my account. Work email. Yeah,
yeah.
So, but the thing is that yeah, everything looks legit. It completely appears to be from Bell, and in fact, when you mouse over any of the links other than the view Bill, it says mybell.bell.ca, and it will actually take you to the Bell website.
Wow.
Now, this has become defunct since it was sent to me, and so now when I hover over the view Bill link, I guess Google has now added some form of protection to protect its users, but the fact is that this came into something that wasn't a Gmail account. I forwarded it. And on that application, it did no such thing, and this was completely masked. So here's what's happening. And this one looked like it was from Bell, which is, if you're not familiar with them, they're a telecommunications company here in Canada. Yep. And they basically, you know, have the largest market share, I'm sure, still of phone lines.
And, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, internet service. They used to provide our internet here at the studio. They completely did us over. And so to me, when I, and then I switched to Rogers, and that email at first caught my attention because, oh, Bell's making good on the fact that they messed us over at the studio. Right.
So they
almost believed it.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
But then I realized that no, Bell
because
never,
you feel like they
Bell
ought
never
to
makes
be
good.
Giving you $112.53.
No, they should be given a lot more than that.
They ought to be giving us
yeah,
some
let
money.
Me tell, let's go over the back billing here, Bell.
Oh my gosh.
It's true. But so I almost fell for it because they're playing into a couple of things here. One, most people in Canada use Bell in some form or another. So okay, we know that you're probably a customer. And even if only 50% of you are, we've got 50% of you at that.
Yeah.
Okay, so already it seems authentic. Then they are offering a refund or an amount of money to go back to me.
Yeah.
So immediately the selfishness of being a human is that, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
Someone's
money
giving
back.
Me something. I want that now. So some may just click on it without even thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then there's those of us who realize that Bell probably owes me money anyways, so,
so yeah,
that's obviously
true
legitimate. Yeah, and that's the thing. So they're playing into all these things. But the difference with this particular scam is the very link that takes you to the phishing scam looks entirely authentic in your browser.
Oy.
So for years, we've been saying, look at the address bar of your browser.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the address bar. Make sure that it is paypal.com. Make sure that it is gmail.com or mybell.bell.ca. Make sure that that's the address that shows in your address bar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fact is, here's the thing. It does. Here's the address bar from a Gmail phishing scam using this particular technique. And as you see, it says https://accounts.google.com/service login?service mail and goes on and on and, and so on. So,
well, to the untrained eye, like my eye, that doesn't look wrong. Is it not wrong? Like,
because I'm conditioned to, hey, got to look at the address bar.
Yeah.
This is Google. It says HTTPS, so it's secure, accounts.google.com. Now, a couple of quick things that I notice about that particular screenshot is that, first of all, it says HTTPS, and this is a screenshot within my browser. I know it kind of makes it look like I've got two address bars, but there you can see it. So it looks like it's HTTPS, but you notice that there's no lock symbol here. And that it's not showing in green, because most of the browsers are going to show you color-coded. Let's actually go to Google and see what it looks like. If I go back to my Gmail account, what does it actually look like? Mm-hmm. It simply says secure.
Okay, so it is verified, then you know that it's...
Yeah, so the real account, let's bring back up that Bell thing, and if you look back at that screen, look at the actual Google. It says secure, and it has a secure icon to show that it's locked, that it's secure, it's encrypted, okay? So this particular one doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of a red flag. So what are they doing? How's it working? Now, if it was just the address bar, you'd say, okay, well, that's not a big deal, but the fact is, because you might detect that this is fake anyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that this is what the page looks like. Here's a screenshot.
Okay, so it's asking you to log in.
So it looks fine.
That's Gmail.
Yeah.
It looks like Gmail.
Looks so just like Gmail.
It says Gmail in the address bar, google.com. It says one account, all of Google. It looks exactly the same. Yeah. How easy is it to spoof Google because they're purposefully minimalist?
Yeah.
So it looks completely legitimate. But what's actually happening here is really, really interesting and actually quite frightening from an end-user standpoint. So those two things are why we might fall for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It has it in the address bar. We may not have seen that it's not secure because it looks secure. It says HTTPS. Yeah. And the site itself, the login form, is what we're all familiar with. It looks completely legitimate. Mm-hmm. So you've got that that address up in your address bar. There are two things to notice here. And I'm just bringing up screenshots from the blog posted at WordFence. Go to wordfence.com/blog for their blog. Learn more about them. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the various resources that that we recommend. But also, if you want to get this actual article, cat5.tv/wf-fish. So the first thing that I notice in reality here with this link is, okay, https://... starts after this comma. And the comma just before that says data:text/HTML. Not used to seeing that in my browser.
No, not at all.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've been doing any kind of web coding, you realize that data colon, that's specifying a protocol. So I'm not HTTPS colon, I am data colon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm able to inject any amount of HTML, because it's data:text/HTML into anything that follows that particular protocol.
It's almost like making a little notepad and just saying, I want it to look like this, and just typing whatever you want in that bar.
Sure is.
And so how far after going into something like this is it too late?
Generally, okay, so
immediately, right? Like if you log in,
as soon as you click the link, it tells them that you clicked the link, and it and it gives them your email address, which they already have, but they now know, this person almost fell for it. Let's monitor things.
Let's do more.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a checkbox on your account.
Right.
So that's the first. But as far as your actual identity, your security goes, it's not until you actually log in that you've lost
everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
So we know to see that data colon text slash HTML at the beginning of the URL means that they are injecting something. There is going to be some code, but it doesn't look like code. It looks like the website that I'm going to, which is Gmail. So if I jump back to our screenshots, and they've been so good to generate some great screenshots here, I want to show you what this actually looks like. So we've got the URL in the address bar, looks perfectly legit. But then there's a whole bunch of white space after that URL, which you don't see on your screen because it gets cut off by the side of your screen. And if you continue on and you continue scrolling, all of a sudden you see some JavaScript. That JavaScript and the HTML that follows, and it's all obfuscated, it's all encrypted and encoded, so you can't actually read it. It generates the HTML output of the Gmail login or the Bell, MyBell login or any of these other services. It's not specifically a Gmail thing, even though this particular blog item focuses on the Gmail exploit. The fact is it could be any company.
Oh, yeah.
Any company. Twitter's going to be next. Anyone else that gets a lot of logins is going to be next. Now, of course, they're going to target things like your email service, because what happens if they can get access to my Gmail?
Oh, yeah. Well, at the same time, though, Gmail is Google. Who has a YouTube channel? Who has AdSense? Sure. So, for example, if you're a blogger, even if you don't have a blog like with Google or anything else, if you still use AdSense somewhere, they can get your credit card information, your bank information, not just your YouTube channel, everything else, right? So it's everything beyond that. So, and of course, like if they do a scam with, for example, Outlook, so like maybe they somehow get with Microsoft there. What services do you have connected to your Outlook account, right? Your Microsoft account, so like your Xbox, anything else.
And think about things, if they were to exploit our Gmail account, I might have online banking associated with that. I may have various different accounts. I may have a PayPal account that I can log into by using the credentials that are found in my email or I can reset my password
right.
using my email. So one of the first things that's going to happen now, if I log into this particular mm-hmm. fake form, is that it's going to save the information to the malicious user's database, the phisher or the hacker, if you will. I wouldn't call them hackers per se. They're people generating revenue by tricking people into giving them their information. Mm-hmm. So now if I log in, they immediately have my username and password mm-hmm. for Gmail or mm-hmm. whatever other service. So what happens is, we don't know if it's an automated system possibly, or if it's mm-hmm. it could be a data center with a bunch of employees getting in there, mm-hmm. and almost immediately they're logging into your account and they're generating new emails from your email address
wow.
to your contacts in order to continue to spread this malware.
And then it looks really legit.
Looks very legitimate.
Right?
If I get an email from Sasha,
you're going to open it.
I probably will.
Well, that's the thing. They have access to all your past emails, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they could always go and get an attachment or something from beforehand and just say, hey, double check this show document for tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
Robbie
actually wouldn't actually open any of mine.
I just ignore it.
That looked like grammatically correct or done well, because most of my emails are written on the fly and it's just one big long run-on sentence. It looks like it's from Nigeria.
Think about this. Think about this. Henry, you did some drone shoots for us. You did mm-hmm. some video and you sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Too big for email.
You're
going to upload it to Google Drive. And then you're going to send me the link. When I click on that link, I have to log into my Google account.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to mm-hmm. apparently send me an email that looks like it's from you now, so it doesn't mm-hmm. look like it's from Google, it looks like it's from Henry,
mm-hmm.
and it says, click here for the video that I got for you,
mm-hmm.
and I click it, and it gives me that login to Gmail, I might fall for it.
Yeah.
So now it's getting way too sophisticated. The URL in my address bar looks like Gmail. The login form looks like Gmail. The email came from Henry,
mm-hmm.
and it all completely looks legitimate.
There's mm-hmm. another question I have to ask, though, as at this stage, because I know on certain services like Dropbox, for example, I have dual authentication setup, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if we're saving this for later in the show or not, but whenever I log into a new computer on Dropbox or whatever, I have to put in my full password,
Yeah.
And then I have to put in a number that I get from Dropbox. Like, they text me a number.
Sure.
Right?
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Boom. And that brings us to the segment of the show where we talk about how can you protect yourself?
Right.
And that's exactly one of the ways, Henry, that you can protect yourself, because as you try to authenticate to your account,
mm-hmm.
it requires that you now provide the code from your phone or whatever it is.
Yeah, okay. So
if I accidentally fell for this scam mm-hmm. and gave these people my username and password, now they do have it,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as they try to log in, it pings me on my phone and says, you're trying to log into Gmail. Yeah. Here's the code.
Hey, mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
And I can say, wait a minute, something's going on. I can go in and change my password. So backing up a little bit, keep in mind, if you do fall for this, one of the first things that they're going to do is change your password to lock you out of your account.
Mm-hmm.
So protect yourself by, one, knowing the things that we've shown you here tonight about how the address bar tricks you into thinking that you're on the legitimate website, but also two-factor authentication, where available, is going to save you so much grief in event that you do accidentally fall for single-factor authentication phishing scams.
And you do not want to fall for something that gives access to your information. Because I can talk about like a mm-hmm. recent situation that I had today where I went in.
That is very recent.
Very recent. Happened in this day.
Oh, my gosh.
I went in and I bought Dave's wedding band for our wedding.
Yes!
Hey,
yay.
Congrats!
So at the store I was at, they said, hey, if you sign up for our credit card, then you don't have to pay for a couple of months.
Nice.
And I thought, okay.
That's a good deal.
And you can also buy a boat, and you don't ever have to pay for it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's how credit cards work.
So they're
work.
Like, we'll I asked for a limit of exactly the amount that the ring costs.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's smart, yeah.
But because I had asked for something different than what they were automatically going to give me, mm-hmm. I had to speak to their security. Well, the security was trying to ask me questions
to verify
my identity.
They probably thought that there was something up here.
Yeah. Yes.
What's this girl trying to pull?
Exactly. This odd number of... So they asked me questions for me to identify myself or to authenticate who I was as a person. So they had information about me and I had to prove to them that I was in fact me. The things they were asking me were insane. I didn't know that much about myself. They were
so they were not asking yes or no questions. They're asking things based on
specific things. Like, you've had more than one phone number in your past. Can you please name the two of the other phone numbers that you've had?
No way. Stuff that's long gone in your
stuff
past?
Stuff that's long gone. They asked me which credit cards I've canceled in the past 5 years. They asked me.
And they're not fishing for this information. They know the answer.
They know the answer.
This is how they gauge whether you're really who you say
you
are.
They asked me how much I pay TELUS every month. Well, I don't pay TELUS. I pay Rogers. Right? Mm. So they're trying to, like, get me. It was insane.
You passed the test.
They said, well, you moved your address, but you didn't change your address on everything immediately.
Well.
What is the thing that you didn't change your address on? It was my Visa.
Wow.
Right? But they knew everything about me. So if they were malicious, if they were not great people instead of the super awesome people that sold me a wedding band, they have my entire history and could prove to anybody else who was unsuspecting that they are me, because I didn't even have that information about me.
Can I ask, leading up to that point, because that's an astronomical amount of private data.
Insane.
And they could just pull it up on their computer.
They didn't, I don't know what they accessed for it. They asked for my driver's license.
That's what I wanted to know. What did they need in order to get that backstory?
Wow. All they had was my driver's license. So they plugged my driver's license number into their computer.
Wow.
They pulled up that. It was...
I wonder how many other types of cards would give that data.
Right, yeah. I wish I videotaped it, because the things that they were asking me, literally, like, I never would have imagined that that is in one set spot of information.
And we don't ever think we're going to be the victim of identity theft, but if it's that easy to get the data on Sasha Dermatis, right? Then that's pretty scary. And so here we're looking at phishing scams, and this is one of the ways that these users try to trick you into giving information. And maybe they can get enough information to then get all that backstory and get all that info that these guys were able to pull up.
I would like to say, for the record, this credit card thing, I am using it only to get the money for the ring between now and the 2 months, and then I'm paying it all off and canceling.
She's not actually
the card.
Going into debt.
No. Like, I'm canceling the card. It was just like, 60 extra days of not paying this? That's perfect. Let's do
perfect.
That.
Why not?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, so going back to protecting yourself, one final thought. We talked about the protocol. Mm-hmm. When you go to a website, you've got http://whatever.com or https://whatever.com. The S stands for secure, and that means that it is encrypting the information. But the way that you need to confirm that is by actually looking that there's a lock that is not broken, that it is secure, it's not red, it's not giving you any kind of warnings or anything like that. But the protocol has to be the very first thing on the address bar. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, because with this one, you notice that the HTTPS, which is what we would expect to be the protocol, because the HTTPS:// happens after data:\text/HTML, we know that the protocol is not actually HTTPS.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. And like you said earlier, is that you don't see a green check mark or just confirmation of that. And it's not just Chrome, too. Like, it's in Firefox as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're going to start to, you know, it's going to start to get a little more confusing as Chrome evolves their notification system so that it colorizes things. Because if, with this particular one, it's not sending you to a website. It's using data in the address bar. Mm-hmm. And if I can just really stress, what that means is it's like opening a local file. I'm basically injecting this into your browser. So unless they make some changes to Google Chrome or Firefox or Opera or whatever you're using, it's still going to show without a red X through it. Because it's not malicious as far as the browser is concerned. It's local data.
Yeah. And I'll just add a little bit of a timbit as well.
A timbit.
I like timbit. You know, I'm
our Canadianisms.
No, is that we're using the entirety of check marks and X's. And I actually prefer that because on multiple online forums, everything else, there's a large percentage of population that is colorblind. So it's nice to have the actual symbol.
Yeah.
Than the actual just color. Because I do know that there's a large percentage of people, especially online, that are colorblind.
That's a good point.
So this is random, but I like how companies use an actual symbol instead of just a color, right?
Yeah.
So if you see that check mark instead of just an X or...
My concern with this particular one is, yes, yeah. we'll become accustomed to, if it's a red X, mm-hmm. we'll know there's something wrong.
Yeah.
If it's a green check mark, we'll know it's good to go.
But can they
But if there's nothing,
yeah.
if it's just a white address bar,
right.
it's not going to stick in our mind subconsciously that there's something wrong here.
Right, it won't trigger anything.
Yeah, so that's where you've got to be, you've got to do your due diligence, be very, very careful. Google themselves, as a final thought, sent an email to Mark Maunder from WordFence yesterday, and I'm not sure if they're going to really make any changes. Here's what they said. We're aware of this issue and continue to strengthen our defenses against it. We help protect users from phishing attacks in a variety of ways, including machine learning-based detection of phishing messages, safe browsing warnings that notify users of dangerous links in emails and browsers. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Yep.
Preventing suspicious account sign-ins and more. So that means, you know, if suddenly I've got somebody logging into my account from halfway across the world and I was just on it from Barrie, then that's suspicious.
They're actually really good at that because they really wonder about me sometimes.
Quite often, though, they just notify you. They don't.
Yes.
They don't necessarily stop the login.
Right.
So if they're quick and they change their password, then that could be a problem as well.
Yeah.
They go on to say users can also activate two-step authentication for additional account protection. So our resources tonight of recommendation, go to wordfence.com. And again, this particular article is found at cat5.tv/wf-fish. Another great resource for you is the ESET blog at welivesecurity.com. And as I mentioned at the top of the segment, we've done a lot of shows on phishing scams so that you can become familiar with them. They're not just for novice users. This is not a concern just for novice users. Us tech-savvy folk can fall for it as well. And our website is category5.tv. Use the search up at the top and do a search for phishing, and you're going to find some stuff.